Hey, Clips fans, what's up? It's Friday. It's yes. Me, your best friends, William the Opinion Updike.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you Monday through Friday, every day of the week. Well, not every day of the week, just Monday through Friday. With fresh Clippers content, all you can handle, some you can't. Send it back. We'll notarize it. There will be no refunds given. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today.
Yes, we do.
Real sweet, sweet victory over the Mavs. I had almost forgot what winning tasted like.
Yeah, I did too.
It's good.
It tastes good.
It tastes good. So we're going to lead off with a recap of that Mavs game. A lot of stuff to be really, really happy and excited about, I feel like.
Definitely.
And then we are going to get into a preview for the Warriors game.
Nuggets game.
For the Nuggets game.
Small preview of the Warriors game.
Yeah, so preview of the Nuggets game, quick preview of the Warriors game, and then we're going to wrap up with our Friday segment, which if you're new to the show, every Friday we do our Pacific Division power rankings. Stuff is maybe a little stagnant there.
Yeah, but, what are you going
to
do?
It's still fun to talk about. And we also have our other Friday segment for you guys. Love, marry, kill. So, well, all that and coming up and more right now.
Yeah, so we halted our four-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Probably because you went to the game last night, Will.
Oh, definitely.
Will was there.
There were parts of the game where it was like, it was pin quiet, but I actually feel like the crowd did get into it a bunch more. And maybe that's by
awesome.
Virtue of it being a close game. Maybe, you know, our boys were away for so long. It's just good to have them home.
Yeah. I talked about that yesterday about how I was like, I just really hope the atmosphere is...
I feel like a mother after her son's like first semester at college.
Yeah, they come back.
So happy to have him home.
They're just doing their laundry. We won 125-121 over the Mavericks. Some quick stats for you guys. Gallo grabbed this game by the neck.
Oh, he looked unstoppable at times.
It was crazy.
And it was on both ends of the floor. We can talk about that in a little bit later, but
really
impactful.
32 points. He refused to let us lose this game. Lou came off the bench, which I personally was kind of worried actually about because of his injury.
He looked so darn good.
He looked great. 26 points from him. Looked A-okay. Trez has 18-6. The bench contributed so much this game, which was great.
Our bench outscored their bench 67-49.
Ooh, suck it, Mavs. For the Mavs, Doncic led the team with 32 points. He is... God, he's good.
I thought it was a little bit quiet of a 32 as well.
That's what I think is like the new good player, where it's like a sneaky... Oh, he had 32. Like
most disturbing soundbite of the game last night was during the fourth, when the game was getting a little too close for comfort, and somebody said, referring to JJ Barea, "Wow, that guy looks so good."
Weird. That is a little disturbing.
It just made me feel bad about the defense, which we can talk about a little bit more later.
Definitely. And DeAndre had 22 boards.
Yeah.
God damn.
They definitely beat us in the rebounding category. Not so bad, though. It was 45-40. They still outscored us on the fast break, but just barely.
That seems to be a thing that I don't think we will ever beat teams on.
On the fast break.
Yeah.
It just surprises me because we got young guys.
For sure.
We got some runners.
Our defense just doesn't seem set up to start fast breaks in any way unless they're off a long rebound.
Yeah. So I guess going and like piggybacking off of the fast break stuff, let's talk about the defense a little bit.
Yeah. So we were up by 11 at half, and then we really let that slip away. They won the second half. For me, I didn't watch this game. I watched some extended highlights. Our pick and roll defense really seemed to let them back into this game.
That, and we still, I don't feel like, defend the three very well.
Yeah, teams shoot a really good percentage against us.
Yeah.
Which...
And I had thought, you know, through that first couple stretches of games, starting with the Raptors game, that, you know, it was just a little bit of bad luck and teams were just kind of shooting out of their mind. It doesn't seem like we're contesting people hard enough on the perimeter.
Yeah, that was... I had a thought. I think I tweeted it out under the Lockdown account of like... Yeah, okay, it happens one or two times that teams shoot 60% and score 61 points on us in a half.
Shame on me.
Shame on you. Shame on them. Yeah, but then it happens like, I mean, every single game.
Shame on me
in that situation. Yeah, I don't know what it is. We have long guys too.
Yeah, I think, I honestly think one of the problems is still... I hate to bag on him, but it goes back to Avery Bradley a little bit. Sometimes
he played so bad this game.
Sometimes staying a little too close on people, I think that makes it real easy to kind of in the pick and roll, he can kind of get left in the dust because he won't see the offense going to set the screen.
He did that against Doncic last night. He was guarding Doncic so close, which if you're guarding someone that close who has, I don't know, a top three step back in the league already, he's going to get separation. Like, that's not...
He did not look particularly strong on Doncic, I did not feel.
No, he had a career... Doncic had a career high, I think. He had 32.
Yeah.
He looked terrible. Shea, Bradley, and Gortat all played pretty poor. They combined for 10 points. Yeah. They were a combined minus 22. Shea and Gortat, I'm like, this is fine. You guys only played whatever minutes you played.
Yeah, so Bradley... to me, was the biggest net negative out of any of the starters. And I do realize that Shea and Gortat finished with... I mean, if you look at the box score, you're worried about plus-minus. They finished
with... pretty
poor. They finished with a much worse plus-minus than Avery Bradley. But part of the reason Avery Bradley's plus-minus is skewed is because he just spent so much time on the floor.
Yeah, how many minutes did he get?
So when the bench was... So when the bench was dumping on the Mavericks bench, he just happened to be on the floor, so it like makes...
taking up space.
Yeah, he was just a body. Like, he wasn't adding anything offensively, or to be perfectly honest, defensively, and he like... so it was still just kind of skewing his numbers. He ended up finishing with, in total, he had all of 28 minutes.
I'm so goddamn tired of looking at a two and then a high number next to his for his minutes.
Yeah.
So this is getting to infuriating levels for everybody who's a Clippers fan.
So if you add up all of Avery Bradley's points, assists, and rebounds from last night, they are just equal with his amount of personal fouls.
Five?
Yeah.
God, dude. Yeah, you were texted from the game. You were like, Bradley's going to foul out. Like, this is...
I just don't understand what he's doing well at this point.
I want to know. He saw Doc doing something messed up. I think he has like blackmail.
Oh, man. I love this take.
I think that Avery Bradley saw Doc like commit a hit and run. Like, he maybe hit someone's bumper coming out of Clippers practice. And then Doc was like, I gotta get out of here.
And it was Jair's. It was Jair.
Yeah, it was Jair. Avery Bradley.
It was Jair's Kia Optima.
Saw Doc Rivers hit and run, Jerry West Kia Optima. And that's why he's playing so much. It just blew. Like, we know Doc was kind of a stubborn guy. This might be the most stubborn thing he's ever done in his coaching career. Fantastic coach. I love him. I don't want anyone else coaching the Clippers right now. This is insane.
It's a little insane just because, like, I mean, I just feel like Patrick Beverley is still his dude, and like, he plays great in the starting position. Just have him and Shea in the starting spot.
Or, I mean, Ty Wallace played 10 minutes, had 6 points. You saw it in person.
Yeah, he made some really dumb mistakes early on. Last night, I think, was a perfect example of Ty Wallace is a sound player. He's got a ways to go. He's not ready for a starting
spot.
He's
a second stringer, though.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah, so, I mean, in an ideal world, it seems like we would have Bradley start, Ty be the second, and just keep Avery Bradley on the bench for the third string.
Definitely.
Like, that feels like a rational hierarchy right now.
Yeah.
He's not helping on defense.
No.
Our whole defense looks bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm worried about the game against the Nuggets. Gallo was doing everything last night.
Yeah, both ends of the floor, he was getting it. There were like a couple of sequences, one in which he had he took a charge and then like had a sweet little 180 dunk. I thought that was like really
nice.
Dude,
that reverse jam. So also, for Gallo to take a charge and sell it as the strongest man in the NBA, great acting.
Oh, man. Talk about, when you talk about basketball players who are going to have a great career in Hollywood after
Danilo Gallinari. He had 68% shooting, 6 boards. He was perfect from the line. This was his best performance as a Clipper ever.
Yeah. And there was another sequence in which he got a huge freaking block when the game was close. I think we might have even been down. And then immediately on the other end, big three.
Tobias didn't play, you know, out of his mind or something like that. But what was really nice, he went a perfect 8 for 8 from the line, which is like, when these two guys aren't playing well, all I want to see them do is shoot 100% from the line.
Definitely.
Which was great. And he had 9 boards. I think he ended with like 18 and 9 or something like, or maybe 16 and 9.
Tobias?
Yeah.
He finished with 16,
yeah. Yeah, 16 and 9.
16, 9 and 5. He was
which
like,
is like a quote unquote, like that seemed like he wasn't playing well and he still had 16, 9 and 5.
He saw more minutes than Gallo, which I honestly didn't realize until I was watching
the
box score.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I thought that Gallo was on the floor for like the entire game.
Yeah.
Nice
that Gallo got some rest.
This didn't feel to me like an underperformance by Tobias. I think
He was letting Gallo do it.
He saw his mans was hot. You gotta let a shooter shoot.
Dude, I love that. I love that understanding. One thing kind of concerning for me, we still only took 23 pointers this game.
Yeah.
It's kind of an insane trend that I'm going to be worried about all year.
Here's my thing on the threes. I've been with you most of this whole time, like that we should be making more attempts, and I'm still with that.
Yeah.
My concern is the quality of the shots, and okay. I think there's a habit of this ball club to get a little stagnant with the ball movement. And when the ball is moving, I think, yeah, take as many threes as you can get a good shot. I mean, Gallo was even guilty of it one time this game. Like, just taking the three, like, semi-contested with plenty of time on the shot clock. No, there were 20 seconds on the shot clock.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
And so I don't necessarily want to concern ourselves with volume. I want to keep our percentage as high as it has been in terms of makes. If we can, you know, increase it and keep that same kind of quality, that's great. But I think what the issue has been is like the quality of shots just isn't necessarily there.
That's fair. It's just, it's concerning for me from a standpoint that if we're going to lose points in the paint, which we kind of seem to be, we usually kind of hover around matching them or below them. That's when I'm a little just like, better three-point teams who shoot we shoot a great percentage, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But better teams that just get those looks, that's going to bury us.
Yeah. I mean, we've already talked on that earlier today, but we don't defend the three well. Mm-hmm. And if we can't defend it and we're not like able to create the kind of movement to get those like more uncontested shots, it's going to be tough, man.
It was nice to see in this game, the Mavs made a run in the fourth.
Oh, well,
we were down.
Yeah, the run started in the third. Clippers had their classic take a dump in the third quarter.
Should we call the third quarter a bathroom break for the Clippers from this point
on? Yeah, definitely. and luckily, like, they were able to kind of stop the bleeding, and it only ended up being 28-24. But it looked worse. You know,
for
what I mean?
Sure. It's one of those
just
things.
The eye test. You know, sometimes when you're not looking at the score, it seemed like things were going a lot worse.
Absolutely.
Than how we ended up getting out of that one. I think. I think the key. There was like a key foul. Montrezl Harrell made. It was his second personal foul. It was probably midway into the third quarter where we had
you
actually
texted me about this. You said, I hate to say this, it might be the turning point for the game.
Yeah, we had actually had a nice little run, and then on the other end of the floor, Harrell kind of had a bad foul.
Yeah,
and like instantly, I don't know what it was, but the entire energy of the stadium just deflated.
Damn,
like it just went out. And then they had, and then they got a couple of free throws made, both of them. Then we had two turnovers in quick succession. Like, it was just like you could feel the anxiety.
Such a hard.
You could just feel the anxiety of the team. And they were both Lou Will turnovers. They were both like a good player who I think, you know, he does commit some turnovers, but not he didn't. I don't feel like most of the time he's making stupid plays.
100%. It's always turnovers where like, oh, he got stripped. He's not like hurling the ball.
These were clearly like, these were just not well thought out plays. These were anxiety driven plays.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing with Trez, is someone who has such big energy. It's big energy both sides. So when things are going great, it feels great. And then when things are going bad, you're like, oh, you're permeating the whole stadium, which is fantastic when it works. Yeah. But I think everyone kind of feeds off maybe that negativity.
Yeah. But then going off those kind of bad decisions, Lou Will was able to, I feel like he was a big key in clawing
26 points, man.
Clawing us
so
back
great.
In this game. We lose this game if Lou Will isn't back.
I agree 100%. I was worried because my thing yesterday was saying if Lou Will's not back, we're going to need Trez to have like 30 or something like that, or someone on our bench to come up big. It was nice to see in the fourth, it was tit for tat. And
definitely.
We did not back down when they were making shots. We matched. It was so cool to watch that, of just like, oh, you guys want to make a shot? No problem. We're here.
Yeah.
We're here. This is going to sound maybe dumb. It felt like we genuinely really wanted to win this damn game.
Oh, I mean, I agree. And I think there is like, you know, that obviously they want to win every game, but
this was like, you're not ripping this away from us.
Some nights they're showing it.
Yeah, this was a game where it was like, you're not taking this away from us. We're winning this game.
Yeah, and I mean, we just continued to do, when it got harder on the offensive end, we just continued to do what we do well, which is getting to the line, and just playing with, you know, some pretty good efficiency.
Yeah. The defense, you know, a little something to be desired. I'm hoping this sexy Rexy defense ends up working out.
Yeah.
But hey, we got the victory. I woke up happy today.
Definitely.
You woke up happy. Money well spent. You got to take your dad to the game. That's fantastic. Coming up after this break, we're going to be previewing the Nuggets versus Clippers game. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It's all of the podcast feeds into one aggregated account. Great during breaking news, live stuff on Instagram, you get a little longer stories. That is Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram.
So, we got a game preview against the Nuggets. Just a couple quick things.
This 2 p.m. tomorrow.
2 p.m., which to me almost feels like a back-to-back. I woke up at 11 today.
I would agree. That does feel like a back-to-back.
So two would be a back-to-back for me.
For sure.
And then it is the first of a back-to-back against the Warriors.
Yeah, this is the hardest back-to-back we're going to have all year.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that we have a pretty good shot against Denver. That first game that we played, the season opener, was really close.
Should have won.
Yeah, we weren't able to close it out. But the team looks a lot better now. I hope that we turn over the ball
and
a little bit less.
They're missing some key guys.
They are.
Millsap's out.
Paul Millsap, who was really solid for them, he wasn't a big scorer in that season opener, but we definitely felt him on the defensive end.
Millsap's out, and I think Gary Harris is out too.
Yeah.
So, and those are their two, other than Jokic and Murray, those are their two. They have such even distribution of scoring on their starting lineup.
Definitely.
Like, Jokic averages 18. I think Murray averages like 17.8. And then Gary Harris and Paul Millsap are at like 15 and 16.
Yeah.
So they get crazy distribution from their start, which is awesome if you're that team, but like, I'm kind of glad those two guys are out.
Definitely.
This is a huge game. Number one team in the West. We play the number two team in the West the next day. So happy to have Lou Will back for this. Happy we had kind of the day off for them to rest.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Lou Will plays yesterday if we don't have this day off in between.
Yeah.
I'm kind of worried how much he's going to play.
Yeah, so that was kind of I guess I should have touched on this in the last segment, but that was a double-edged sword for me. It was great to see Lou Will doing so well and playing really great. It was a bummer to me how much we have to rely on him.
That's a really good point. Because we're going to need him for these two games.
Yeah.
The Nuggets are on a 4-game win streak. This would be a huge statement win if we get this win.
Do you think that Boban plays significant minutes in this game?
We can get into what we need to do to win right now. And I was thinking, you know, we obviously got to contain Jokic. Him and Boban have this mental history.
Yeah.
But yeah, throw him out there. Throw him out there. Hell, start him for a couple minutes.
Boban seems to be like the Jokic kryptonite.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have good games against Boban.
For sure. And it's like, I mean, I would honestly say start him. Start Boban. Don't give him starters minutes.
Yeah.
But, like, get him out there. Get him to rattle Jokic. Teams playing the Nuggets are first in total rebounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is insane.
For Basketball Reference. So, if we can keep Jokic in check on the glass this game and Boban can kind of feast, we could actually maybe beat a team in fast break points.
100%.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Another thing we need to do to win, more Tobio dominance.
Definitely. Like, I hope to see another like standout performance from either one of these guys, or ideally both.
Yeah, I mean, Gallo was great last game. Tobias set a career high against the Blazers. Like, let's combine these vibes.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Let's ride this, dude. I mean, Gallo or Tobias almost had 20 last game too.
Yeah.
Like, a line of 29-5 is unbelievable if Gallo can also get 32.
Definitely.
That'd be huge.
Do you think that we're still... So, for those of you new to listening to the pod, Tobio is Tobias Harris plus Danilo Gallinari. They breathe, they eat and breathe as one being.
Yeah, when things are going well.
And the Tobio cushion is essentially what we predicted at the beginning of the season, being that they need to combine for 40 if we really want to have a shot of winning any game.
Yeah.
But now that our starters are back in a kind of a slump, just given not all of them, but
two
out of five. I think that number, would you say that Tobio cushion number is really ideally closer to 50 now?
Agreed.
I think even with Lou Will back, especially when we're playing games against teams that are, you know, definitely already playoff locks, it's going to have to be closer to that 50 number.
Yeah, this weekend they're going to have to get 50 pretty much each game. Another thing I'm worried about, the McGetty gospel. We got to move the ball from side to side.
Got to move the ball to side to side. I think that, you know, Denver has been playing pretty solid defensively.
Yeah.
I think the key to shutting that down is just some solid ball movement.
Pass the hell out of the ball. So let's get into what could go wrong really quick. The biggest thing, you know, our defense is sloppy, and then Jokic kind of goes off against whoever's guarding him.
Definitely.
That, I mean, this could be a game where Jokic has another random 15 assist night.
Oh, yeah.
If he really wants it.
I'm worried about the bathroom break.
Third quarter.
Yeah,
we just invented that if you're new to the podcast.
If we take a bathroom break in the third quarter, this team is really potent offensively.
Jamal Murray will run you over.
Yeah. So that's definitely going to be an issue. If our bench isn't able to show up like it has been, I'm really worried about that. The Nuggets have a deceptively deep bench, especially with the play they've been able to get out of Monte Morris. It's troubling to me. It's worrying. But our bench has been playing better. We're back on the trend where we're handedly outscoring other teams'
benches.
And
they got two starters out, so their bench is going to have to do a lot more work than ours, hopefully. So like I mentioned earlier, they have like pretty consistent scoring. Jokic at 18, Jamal Murray basically at 18. If one of those guys goes off and we continue to get 0 to 5 combined points from Avery Bradley and Gortat,
yeah,
we will lose.
Yes.
This is a team where I think I maybe put this. Oh, and this isn't the key matchup. We can kind of get into that right now. A key matchup for me is Avery Bradley versus himself. So like if you're Avery Bradley, everyone is bagging on you right now.
Definitely.
Everyone's bagging on you. You're not playing good defense,
yeah,
which is what you hang your hat on if you're him.
Oh, yeah.
Your offense sucks.
Bad.
At some point, if you're him, I want to see him just be like, F everybody, here's what I can do. Actually have a productive night.
Yeah.
Have one productive night this week.
And I'd honestly even settle for a productive night on either end of the floor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Give me one good thing.
It doesn't even have to be both.
No. Like, if I was at work and everyone was just like, dude, you suck at the thing you're supposed to be good at, and you suck at the other thing that you're not really supposed to be good at, but you're not supposed to be this bad at it. For a week, I would come out so hot.
Yeah.
That's what kind of bums me out about Avery Bradley, is that he just kind of says the stuff like, you know, it's going to come. I'm doing my best. Like, we're playing well as a team. I'm like, be mad.
Yeah.
Be mad that I'm bagging on you right now. You probably don't even listen to this podcast, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, definitely.
It's out there. Another key matchup, defense versus doom.
I like this.
We gave up 121 to the Mavs. We can't let these guys do the classic, wow, shooting 60% in the first quarter thing we do. They will bury us if we don't come out kind of feisty on defense early.
Definitely.
I'm worried about that. I don't want to play from behind. And then Jokic versus whoever's going to guard him. He's their linchpin. We got to shut him down.
Yeah.
Somehow. He got, the first time we played them, so many soft foul calls.
Definitely.
Unbelievable. I swear to God, Boban would look at him, and then Jokic would kind of give an eyebrow to the ref, and it was like two shots.
Yeah, I feel like the calls are also a lot softer early in the season.
Yeah, I want to see some bully ball when Trez is on him. I want to see Trez with the offense just elbows up, like pounding him on the offensive end.
How long do you think we see that matchup? I don't know that matchup is that effective.
I don't think it's going to be that long. We might see some meatball lineup.
I like that idea.
I would love to see some meatball lineup. If you're new to the podcast, that's when Gallo's playing center. I think meatball lineup would really kind of make Jokic, you'd draw him out, I'm assuming, because Gallo can obviously shoot. So you draw him out from the paint, paint's wide open.
Yeah, I'd like to see somewhat of a meatball lineup with Harrell playing the power forward position, Tobias at the three,
yeah,
and then a backcourt of Shea and Lou Will.
That'd be nice. Or Shea and even PBev.
Yeah.
That'd be good. What's your prediction for this game?
Okay. I think that it's going to be I guess not the most high scoring. I think it's going to be 118 to 110 Clippers.
Okay. That's fair. Mine was, I think we beat them 121-17.
All right. I like that.
Really quick, we can't get into too much of a preview for the Warriors game. What's your prediction for the game against the Warriors on Saturday?
Oh, man.
Mine is 128-110 Warriors, sadly.
128-110 Warriors?
Yeah.
I think the key to winning this game is actually like dragging out our offensive
slowing
possessions.
It down.
Yeah, and then like really trying to do our best on defense. So I would hope that it would be a lower scoring game if we're going to win it. I'm going to go ahead and say 105 to 102 Clippers.
Damn. I hope so. I mean, I hope you're right and I'm wrong.
Yeah. If we want to win, it's got to be like we got to kind of slow down the pace and kind of limit the amount of possessions that happen in the
and
game.
And our bench, their bench is terrible. Not even like objectively, they have a bad bench. Our bench should hopefully crush. Coming up after this, really quick Pac-Div rankings and some Love, Marry, Kill. So for the Love, Marry, are our Pac-Div rankings the same this week?
Yes.
I'm going Clippers at the top.
Clippers at the top.
Yeah.
Love it.
We're back on track.
Yeah.
Warriors at 2.
Okay.
Which sucks because they're the Warriors.
Yeah.
Lakers. No. You know what? Quick shout out. Suns at the third spot.
Heck yeah.
They got
dude.
4 games in a row. They're back. I don't know. You can't really be back if you weren't good in the first place and then got bad again. They've just been bad. Now they're good, I guess. Lakers at the 4.
And then you have what? The Kings at the bottom?
Actually, you know what? Kings at the 4. Okay. Lakers at the bottom.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
I'm
a good Pac-Div rankings.
I'm with
for
it.
For this week. Shout out to the Suns. Lakers, you know, it's more so just the Kings and Suns playing pretty good right now. So the nice thing about the Pacific Division this year is that divisions mean nothing in basketball.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of football.
Yeah.
Divisions mean absolutely nothing. It's tight to be in a competitive division.
I mean,
like everyone's playing, like, I mean, the Kings are outperforming. We have, I think, 1 game away from the same record as the Lakers.
We have the exact same record.
We have the same record. And the Warriors are like playing pretty good, but still haven't run away with the whole conference yet.
Definitely.
So like, it's kind of cool. The division's at least a little close.
Yeah.
So for Love, Marry, Kill this week, there are 3 teams with the same record at the 8, 9, and 10 spot in the Western Conference. The Rockets, Grizzlies, and Kings. Let's Love, Marry, Kill their playoff chances.
All right. Sounds good. Who wants to kick it off?
I'll go first.
All right.
So this might be not too crazy a thing. I am loving the Grizzlies' playoff chances.
All right.
I'm loving it. I'm still a little tepid. It's like kind of a fling right now. I think it'll be a good time. But they just look... That's going to be that classic Grizzlies thing where you're like, oh, damn, I don't want to play this team in the playoffs.
Definitely.
I'm marrying the Rockets.
Okay, so I'll jump in on this one too because I'm also marrying the Rockets.
You're marrying
in
the Rockets too.
There's no chance that they don't make the playoffs.
They're peaking well right now.
Yeah,
they've won 5 in a row or something like that. They set the record for the most 3-pointers made last game. Like, they're gonna make the playoffs. Will they make it out of the first round? I don't know.
Yeah, once they get to said playoffs, no clue what's gonna happen.
CP3's hurt again with that hamstring. Like, could be bad. And then, sadly, I hate to do this. I'm killing the Kings.
Oof,
I love them. I love the Kings. I think they're going to be like the 9 seed, but I just don't see them making that. I think they might run out of gas.
Yeah, they're kind of bound for regression. Their shooting's like some insane percentage right now. Their whole offense is kind of predicated on like just wearing out teams.
Yeah,
and even if that does make it to a playoff series, like, can you sustain that for 7 games without another team just figuring you out?
Probably not. So is your love and kill different?
Yeah. Even though they're bound for regression, man, I'm not giving up on the Kings.
I can't be mad at that, dude.
Yeah, for the
thin line between loving and killing.
In this one, yeah. Definitely. I think that they're a fun team to watch right now. I love what De'Aaron Fox is doing.
Oh God.
Buddy Hield playing great. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm blushing.
I'm infatuated.
I'm really infatuated.
And then you're killing the Grizzlies.
I'm killing the Grizzlies. And like, this is
no disrespect to any of these.
This is no disrespect to any of these teams. The Grizzlies are great. And like, even though I'm killing them in this segment, it's because I have to choose one of the three.
For sure. I almost killed the Rockets, but I was like, they're too good to.
The Grizzlies are making the playoffs, I think.
Okay.
And if they don't, they're
so you're loving, marrying, and loving. You freak.
I know, man. I'm like, we're polyamorous. We're poly everything.
The playoff race in the West is going to be even more brutal than last year.
Yeah.
What does it come down to if 4 teams have the exact same record?
Deathmatch.
Yeah. Best uniforms. Guys, that has been Locked On Clippers. Monday, we're going to have 2 recaps for you. We're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Nuggets and the Warriors. We're going to have the Freshies
Fresh.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Have a good weekend.